Hey, everybody, Rob here, getting you set up for our Wednesday night recap of Big Brother. Of course, this show is supported by BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you are struggling with anxiety or depression or stress right now, you are not alone. BetterHelp offers online licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and to help. Counselors specialize in many diverse areas, including depression, grief, anxiety, relationship conflicts, and more. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and get matched up with a counselor in under 48 hours. You can talk with your counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience from wherever you're comfortable. Easily schedule secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages. Everything you share is confidential, and if for any reason you are unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. I got to try it out. BetterHelp was able to set up basically like a video call that I got to talk to somebody and see how the whole process goes. It could not be easier or more convenient to have this kind of conversation. Join the 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. With so many people using BetterHelp, they are currently recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners can get 10% off your first month with the discount code RHAP. Get started today at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who says, even if a bug is on my nipples, don't punch me. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, Wednesday night edition here, talking some Big Brother 22, Memphis HOH. Going to stay the course, not going to change his nominations. David and Nicole on the block, but perhaps a developing situation as we head into eviction night coming up on Thursday. We've got a great show for you here tonight. Let's say hello to everybody that we're going to be chatting some Big Brother with here tonight. Of course, back with us to talk about everything that's going on, a woman who is sweating it out tonight. Here is Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
Doing hot. We don't have air conditioning right now, and so it is like 87 degrees in our apartment. So that is why I am dressed down in a sleeveless fashion, as you can see. Luckily, I got most of my ranting out last night. So today, hopefully, I won't get too hot on the podcast.
Okay. All right. Well, permission granted, if that's what you need to do, Melissa.
Maybe.
When do you think the air conditioning will be back?
Tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 4
Thank
o'clock.
The Lord.
All right. On the dot. All right. Here with me tonight to talk about everything that's going on, a fellow Raptors fan. Here she is back after co-piloting week one of the slop. Here is the great Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
Rob, I'm great. You know, I've spent the last week looking at Memphis and just wondering how I could get that confidence. I just yes. You know, I was trying to figure out how I can have that confidence. And watching the episode tonight, I was like, it's the vest. It's the denim vest. He gets power from this vest. So I thought that I would fashion my own denim vest, but I've been wearing it for not even 15 minutes and I feel incredibly douchey. So I actually think I'm just going to bail on
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
Lesson learned. It's maybe not.
All right.
It's
keep
maybe
it nearby.
Not
keep it nearby when we talk about Memphis.
Yeah. It's close in case.
Okay. All right. And I'm very excited to have here with us for the first time on one of the recap shows. Here he is. He's from our class of 2020. Please welcome Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good. What's up, Rob? What's up with you?
Chappelle, I'm so happy to have you back here with us to talk about what's going on Big Brother 22. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was just thinking about Jenny in that vest, and I swear, I was looking at Memphis wearing that vest the whole episode, and I was like, I know where I know this man from. Like, I've seen this vest on someone before, and I swear he looks like one of my lesbian aunts, and I cannot unsee it. And so I'm so glad Jenny took off the vest because it was going to make me uncomfortable. I cannot see my aunt as a HOH. So I'm glad to be here.
It made me uncomfortable as well. So we're all on the same page.
Okay. All right. Well, excited to be back here tonight. First of back-to-back Big Brother recaps here. So look for us again tomorrow night in the same spot where we will talk about the eviction and the new HOH. Hope you can join us at robisawebsite.com. Okay. Let's get into this kind of another not that much excitement going on this episode. Mostly a lot of talk about how Janelle and Kacer kind of have clocked part of the alliance. People bring it to Memphis's attention. Memphis, not that alarmed. Memphis, he doesn't want to do that much.
Yeah, he's not really into making a big move this week, it seems, which honestly, I actually think he's doing the right thing. I mean, he's in a good place with the Giant Alliance, and he's also he was in a good place at the start of the week. Who knows now? But, you know, he's also like got Janelle and Kacer on the side thinking that he's working with them, and they're a huge target. So it really doesn't make sense for him to go after either side at this point. So, I mean, even on the roundtable, we polled the audience. The audience said that they think he's making the right move and that he should be going after David and that his nominations were correct. And I agree. I think that, yeah, it's kind of more of a boring move, but yeah. I think for his game, it makes sense.
Well, so I just want to drill down on something I saw you tweet earlier today. I saw you tweet, hey, everybody, get ready. Nicole Franzel is going to be the 2-time winner of Big Brother. How about that?
Game on, mother freaker.
Yeah.
Game on, mother freaker.
Yeah.
I honestly tweeted it,
yeah,
and I stand by that tweet, even though it was extremely controversial, apparently.
Did you turn off your replies?
I did not.
Well, they have that new feature where you can just only people that follow you can reply. So you can come out with the hot takes now.
I don't know if that would have helped.
It was a lot of GIF reactions of people telling me no. But I really do think that she's number one. I think we need to be prepared for this outcome. Because I think the earlier we accept it, the less hard it's going to be when it happens. And so I think that if we all are just getting ready for it and we're all just like, I mean, come on. I mean, if we are waiting there thinking there's no way Nicole's going to win and then finale night, she's the first 2-time winner, like everybody's going to be upset. So, you know, at least let's like temper expectations and assume that she will be the first 2-time winner so that we don't really get all worked up about it. We probably still will, but you know, and second, I think she's playing a really good game. I'm impressed with her game. It may not be a game that we like to watch. It may not be, she may not own her game literally at all, but like she is playing a good game. I mean, she's got the whole house turned against like the one person that she came into the house having some sort of like enemy with. Like, I don't even think that they really were enemies, but she, for whatever reason, thought that Janelle was her enemy coming into the house. And now she's successfully gotten basically everybody to rag on Janelle and hate Janelle. Except for maybe Kacer.
Here's a live reaction to Nicole Franzel winning for the second time.
Chappelle, you're going to have to play that on finale night.
Chappelle, is Melissa trying to reverse jinx Nicole Franzel?
Of course.
Because I have her in the draft. I won't be saying no.
No. If Nicole Franzel wins, you get to say the queen stays queen, adios, at the very end of the season. And we get to hear about it every year that Big Brother's on from now until the end of time, how she's the best winner. You won't be able to debate it with anyone because all the other 2-time players have lost at least once. Mm-hmm. So, it's right there for everybody to see. I think we should all probably get on board with it. I think Melissa's right. We should get on board with the reverse jinx. You know, we claim it and then she'll let us down in the end. She'll be the Rob goddess and somebody else will win. And thank God the season will be saved.
To be fair, my predictions are always wrong. And I always anytime I say someone's going to win, they lose. So take that as you will. Maybe it really does mean she's not going to win. But, you know, I'm just saying be prepared. That's all I'm saying.
Wouldn't this be the best time for you to be right?
this would not be a good start to me being right with be this one. No.
If you acknowledge it, though, does that like negate the reverse curse? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it one of those things where it's like you have to like actually be willing it into existence, like sincerely. Otherwise, like fate is sensing that like you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, they might. It's like The Bachelor. They're like, are you in this for the right reasons? It's like, no, at this point I'm not.
Nope. The thing is that if there's a universe that, you know, Nicole Franzl, one of the only two returning winners in this season, gets to the end and wins. Okay, we're all saying, oh, everyone's going to be upset, but we have to appreciate that there was a reason that this happened.
Exactly. And
so
she's good. Like, and if she wins it as a second time winner, and like, I mean, she's good. We all have to give it to her.
And
we like
she
have
wins
to give
it
her some respect.
Also, by she's like, if she leaves like a trail of Cody and Memphis in her wake, like people are going to get behind her. So if she does it, let's see how she gets there. We'll all tip our cap if she's able to pull this off. Melissa, just one last thing on this: is this based on what you saw? Obviously, this was from earlier today, so this is more from just how she's played this week, much more so than anything from tonight's episode.
Yeah, basically how she's played so far in this game. It's just kind of like I've had to take some time to basically come around to it, because I was like, there's no way she's gonna get far. I mean, she's like, she's not really doing much. Like, she's, I mean, you think she's not doing much because she like couches it in like, oh, I don't know, but like really she's actually making people see her as not a threat. She literally is one of the two winners in the house, and yet everybody talks about Ian as a winner and nobody talks about Nicole as a winner. And even today when it was brought up in the episode, Memphis is like, really? Like, I don't really see her as a threat. So I mean, she's doing a great job staying under the radar, making people hate her enemy, getting people on her side. People are asking her to be in alliances. I mean, gotta admit, it's impressive.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that as we go along. Jenny, tonight we also got a lot of these like sowing the storyline of Nicole versus Janelle. We haven't really seen that on the episode, but we started to get that tonight.
Yeah. And it was interesting. You'd think that CBS would maybe, you know, try to sow some connections with the whole Amazing Race thing. Like, I feel like there's like a whole web of people and how that, you know, might have connected. And I feel like there's been enough conversation about, I mean, Nicole is constantly talking about her issues with Janelle. So you'd think that, you know, the Rachel Riley situation and all of the friendships in, we really could have gotten a winners at war type thing where like this person is friends with this person, and outside of the game, like, you know, we talked about that before the season started. Are we going to get some of this pre-gaming stuff coming to light, you know, in the edited show? So I feel like there was a missed opportunity to kind of go back on maybe some other storylines that could have been brought to light. But yeah, this is the first time it's actually been discussed. I felt like there was a diary room section where Nicole was talking about using this opportunity to get Janelle backdoored. And it sounded very obviously spliced, where it was like, and Kaser, like, yes. it was like this is an opportunity to get Janelle and Kaser. Like, it just sounded like a very separate like piece. And they're like, okay, like, it's very obvious that you would like Janelle backdoored, but do you want to maybe add that also Kaser would work? And so I thought that was very interesting, that diary room clip. We're getting a little snippet of Nicole's ongoing, you know, fear of Janelle, a little bit of the Janelle-icy, as we've been calling it. So,
yeah. Chappelle, we got it more from Nicole's side, but even from Nicole's side, she seems very confused about why this is happening.
I don't even get what Janelle has against me, to be honest.
Yeah, she doesn't even understand.
She has no clue. But, you know, to play Nicole advocate, for lack of a better term, I think, you know, CBS is doing a favor for Janelle, too, because if they did show that web of like the Amazing Race and all this other backstory, then you'd have to say that Janelle's actually, she doesn't like Nicole because of something that had nothing to do with her. And so, like, I think her beef is with Alyssa, right? Nicole's beef is with Alyssa. Alyssa doesn't like, you know, Alyssa tells Janelle. Janelle doesn't like Nicole. So it all kind of plays into that. So you kind of make Janelle look kind of petty if you say, well, I don't like Nicole because of the Amazing Race. Alyssa said XYZ. And then also, it's not like It's not like Janelle hasn't said anything about Nicole in the house. Like, I remember on the feed, she's like pretending to be Nicole in her last season when she won. She says, oh, she just sleeps throughout the whole season and wakes up with one of her showmances at week 16 and just wins two competitions and wins the game. And that's her strategy every season. And, you know, so Nicole didn't hear that, but things are being said on both sides, I'm sure.
I just think it's too much to explain in like a DR session. So like they basically just were like, who knows? Like, and yeah, just having Nicole be like, I have no idea why she hates me. And like, I mean, because they're not going to go into the backstory of like, well, you know, Nicole thinks that Janelle thinks that so-and-so, like, it's just, it turns into like this whole thing. And I just feel like they don't want to get into it. And especially with the Amazing Race stuff, I did notice that in the first episode, when they were introducing all the people, they didn't say that either Janelle or Nicole or anybody played in the or competed in the Amazing Race. They didn't even bring that up. So it seemed like they were purposely like trying to keep them separate or like not mention it. I don't know why, but you know, now
the integrity of the game.
I guess so. And now they don't even like want to talk about it at all. So
I tie in for Tough as Nails at 9 p.m. also.
The best thing they could be doing for the Amazing Race is helping increase the idea that there's some good drama that comes from it.
Yeah, we got to ask Phil on the Tough as Nails recap. Just Phil, are you aware at all of?
Please ask him.
Yeah, I think maybe
I'd pay good.
Yeah,
I will up my patron amount if you ask Phil Kogan.
I'll do
question.
It. I'll ask him tomorrow.
$75 patron. I'm in. Like
okay. You got it. Let's talk about these nominations. We saw them in the Sunday night episode. Get some fallout tonight about David and Nicole A going up on the block. Tyler and David have some conversations that Tyler is very upset that David goes up on the block. Really, I guess Tyler and David have some sort of a connection outside of the game. Tyler is very upset to see his friend David go up on the block, and he's so mad, and he seems to hate Memphis now. He got a good hate into Memphis.
Yep.
He's trying to win over BB Twitter.
Yeah.
I've really been enjoying this iteration of Tyler. I mean, obviously he's playing a very similar game. He's still the same strategic Tyler that is making deals with everyone everywhere. But I really like his relationship with David, and I like seeing him fiery because I mean, listen, I'm not going to suggest that Tyler is boring whatsoever. We all don't want to dance around that.
We will
definitely
not say that.
Not,
that is not
saying that.
Say.
Tyler is not a boring player.
No, and Tyler is not a boring player.
Tyler this season is popping out a little bit more in the diary room, and I personally enjoy it.
Yeah, listen to him talk about Memphis.
Memphis is lame, bro.
Yeah. It's like Reem Daly. Yeah.
Lame, bro.
I think that is a pairing I need in my life in some capacity is Tyler and Reem Daly.
What's interesting to me about Tyler this time, though, is that like he's so annoyed by Memphis that he's just like, Memphis is lame. He's a bum. He's 152 years old. Like, let's get him out of here. I'm going to win the veto. And then he loses. And I was like, well, Tyler kind of messed up your arc a little bit. Like, you were supposed to be the Avenger here, and you like lose to the 205-year-old man.
Yeah.
Was about, like,
how about that age shaming, Chappelle, that he says that right. Memphis, like, I don't know how you did it in 1943 on Big Brother 10.
You and Sammy Davis Jr. played in Big Brother -1. Like, I just don't understand why he was so adamant and then lost. Like, that's so embarrassing. That's like the, like, I guarantee that I 100% that I'm going to win this one. And then boom, you lose to the old guy with the vest.
Yeah. I also just looked at Memphis's birthday, and he's only 4 years older than me, so I'm going to.
He's not even old. That's the thing. He looks older.
But he's crotchety. He's crotchety, like an old person.
It's
crazy to me because, like, I feel like I look a billion years younger than him, just because I probably because I look like a teenager. So, like, that's that. But like, I'm always shocked when I see the ages of people, like that. I'm older than Ian Terry and stuff like that, because I felt like Ian Terry played a billion years ago. So it's very strange.
Yeah, I really did enjoy Tyler in the storage room with David calling Memphis old ass bitch. Like anytime that bleep was, I didn't see that. Like I had the old ass bitch, and I couldn't have stand Tyler more in that moment. So
I like how Tyler slides into the room too, like Littlefinger, like. So, David, what Memphis just did, don't you hate that? Oh, God, he sucks. He's horrible. He's an old-ass bitch. Like,
did you see that vest? That vest from 1943 when he played Big Brother 10? Did they even have Levi's back then?
They didn't even have sleeves back then. That's how long ago
they did
it. So we see Kacer and Janelle. They're going to go up to the HOH room, and they're like, hey, look at us. Look, we're not on the block. This was great. So they tell Memphis about, hey, we think that there's an alliance going on. We think it's Cody, Danny, Janelle, I'm sorry, Cody, Danny, Nicole Franzel, and Tyler. That's the four. Mm-hmm. That's the four. Mm-hmm. They're basically like, they're like playing Clue, and they're just like they're just going to take a random guess like in the middle, and they're wrong. And Memphis just like sort of says, like, okay. All right, good to know. Thanks. He tells Cody about this. He says, hey, don't say anything else to Cody. But he doesn't seem upset when everybody else seems to know this information.
Yeah. Every time he turns a corner, someone's like, so Memphis, what is it I hear about this four-person alliance? What are you talking about? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. They know about all you guys, but they don't know about me. So it's cool. But he never once says, Cody, why did you tell people? Yeah. Like, I specifically told you not to say anything. Mm-hmm. And Cody instantly goes and tells Danny, I think. So you can see where her loyalties lie for sure.
Yeah.
I was really interested that we didn't get a Memphis diary room about that. So like, does he truly just not care that he specifically went to Cody and said, listen, this stays between you and I, and it most certainly did not stay between the two of them. I think if we're comparing it to Clue, like, you know, Janelle and Kacer had, you know, who it was and maybe the room that it happened in with, but like maybe not the weapon, and Memphis is the weapon. And so he's like, listen, as long as they don't know what they're doing it with, then I'm clear. So
yeah,
sucks to be you four. You're definitely the ones that are in trouble if they get power and they're still feeding me this information.
Yeah. I mean, like I feel like everybody kind of handled this wrong. And I feel like, I mean, one of the instances that it was handled wrong was like when Memphis is like, I mean, Memphis basically revealed that he's doesn't care about the alliance when they all know that Janelle and Kacer recognize that this is an alliance, and maybe he's left out Memphis and Christmas, but like the other four people in the alliance are named, and they're just like, okay, so we're going to backdoor them, right? And he's like, no, we're not going to, like, that's not happening. And they're like, wait, so, but they know about our alliance. Like, what's the deal? And Memphis is like, yes, but they don't know about me in the alliance. So like, I'm cool. So I'm not going to do anything. Like, that immediately reveals that like, he's a self-interested player. He doesn't care about the alliance. Like, if I was Cody and Danny and all that, I'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, so you're essentially saying that, like, it's only about you, which, like, obviously it is because it's Big Brother, but you don't say that to your alliance.
Yeah.
Memphis is like, you guys need to be more chill. Like, you guys are getting figured out. I am great. Like, things are going right. Well for me, but you guys probably need to figure this out and stop hanging out together.
Yeah, because he's basically like, well, so what? You know, who cares that? Yeah. What are you going to do about it? I mean, you're putting me on the block? Like, he doesn't really care. Yeah.
It's only two of the
I'm
most
playing safety suite next week.
Players.
You guys all used your safety suite. I made you all use that. So nothing's going to happen to me.
I mean, he has a good point. He just probably shouldn't say it out loud.
Yeah. Like, it's diary room point. Material. Like, that's where you should be saying it. Yeah, Memphis hasn't figured out the point of the alliance where, like, it helps increase the bond if you do things to help protect your alliance mates and not just yourself. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the part that, you know, the HOH ring, you can actually use your power to help increase the bonds you already have. And he just decided that that was not part of his plan for the week.
I mean, or at least pretend.
And the thing is that don't reveal that information to Cody about, like, if you're trying to play both sides, like, don't reveal that Janelle and Kacer know about those four. Just keep that as a secret. So that way, like, if it happens that Janelle and Gaser get power, they're not going to target you. They're going to target those four. And yeah, obviously it'd be best if they don't target your alliance, but like, I mean, at least it's not you. But instead he goes and tells that to his alliance, makes them suspicious of Janelle and Gaser, also makes them suspicious of him, because they're like, well, why are you even talking to them? Like, why are you allowing them to want to target us and then not targeting them? Like, it shows that you're the go-between and that you're like playing both sides. It's not good.
And he's like, relax.
He's like, chill out.
It's good. It's good.
New school players. Everything.
Chill out.
Yeah. Okay. We had a very sentimental segment in the episode tonight where Enzo talked about, yes, Chappelle?
I'm sorry. Whenever you say sentimental, I think of Kevin and anytime he's on the screen and the piano starts playing in the background. Why is this Kevin's only like contribution to the season? Every time they show this man, it's just like
they're being kind to him because they're not showing the winner, his strategy. Yeah.
If there was a winner's edit for Big Brother, which is live,
Kevin,
the edgic would be dialing in on what we're getting from Kevin. He's definitely a sympathetic figure in this season so far.
So Enzo, his babies were small when he played. Now he says they're like real human beings. Now at this point. And Nicole, she can't even talk about this because that she is going to start crying if she even talks about kids. But she's ready. And Victor is going to be a great dad. And this is how she knows.
What do you think about Vic? Would he be a good father?
Oh, he'd be the best dad.
That's what I'm excited about.
Dad.
Seeing, like,
he already wears dad jeans.
I don't know what those are. I know what dad sneakers are, but I don't know what dad jeans are.
Yeah.
Does Memphis not wear jeans in the house? You just look no further than Memphis and you'll see dad jeans.
He wears the jeans on his torso.
Are dad jeans a denim vest with no sleeves?
I think so.
That's actually what it is.
You could picture Victor wearing that same exact vest. So
I thought the aesthetic... I thought the argument was that Nicole was impacting Victor's aesthetic. That's, you know, being blamed for him cutting his long, beautiful hair. Mm-hmm. Did she buy him the dad jeans?
It's possible. Well,
what are the dad jeans? What are dad jeans?
Genetics?
I'm just imagining ill-fitting jeans.
Yeah, like jeans that like the legs are too wide.
Wait,
like,
is it jeans or jeans?
I don't know what's in the context.
Yeah,
it's birthing hips.
Vic, would he be the father?
Oh, he'd be the. He's
That's
gonna be
what
the
I'm excited
best
about.
Dad,
seeing like
he already wears dad jeans.
He already wears dad jeans.
I mean, you got me thinking about it. I was like, oh my god,
dad jeans. Yeah, that would make more sense. I had no idea that, you know, a simple fashion choice was all it took to be a great father. This is news to us all.
Yeah. But Nicole, she's ready. She's getting married soon, but watch out.
Victor from BB18 and I are getting married in December, and I'll get pregnant before then. I don't care.
Whoa.
That was also weird, too. Like, that was a weird...
It was. Who's more riled up in this house, Enzo or Nicole Franzel?
Like, it's, I'll get pregnant before. Meaning, like, in the Big Brother house? Like, what do you mean?
Somebody set up the Jack Shack in the backyard. Because
imagine getting pregnant in 2020. That is the most ghetto thing I've ever heard in my life. This is a horrible year. Do not get pregnant until 2021, ma'am. Like, this
Wait
is...
Wait until
this,
things
are... Right, this is not the perfect time to be, like, a huge wife. Like, a huge bride. You want to just wait until, you know, you can, your feet aren't swollen. You don't have to deal with all those things. Don't do that in 2020. This is not the time.
You don't want to go to the hospital at this time. Yeah. You
can help it. If you can plan it out, you know.
Yeah.
She's ready.
So Enzo wants to get married soon and Nicole wants to get pregnant. Yes. They're ready to go.
Okay. And we don't have to get into Kevin and his husband's cocktail. We don't need to explore that tonight either.
We'll leave what an the, excellent
leave the cocktail
name.
To the
This was such a weird sweet segment. This was such a weird segment. And I just like was like, I'm not into this. I feel like they've been trying to put in some sort of like sentimental segment in each episode lately. And a lot of them have been working and it's been nice. And, you know, all that sort of stuff, like the Davon segment, we like that. But then it was like, okay, you don't need to like force a sentimental segment in if it's not actually sentimental. It was like sentimental music over like people like talking about getting pregnant or like, I don't know. It wasn't. Maybe I'm just like, I'm not a mom, so I don't know. Rob, maybe you thought it was sentimental.
Rob, you're a mom.
But yeah. Like,
Rob's mom.
Yeah, very sentimental.
It's the music. The music is supposed to make it sound sentimental or whatever, but it's the music from Cheaters, like that background music when they're interviewing the guy from Cheaters in front of the blue screen. Like, that's the music they're playing every time Kevin speaks.
Which part
it's
of like Cheaters that jingle. Is that?
It's, you know, when they're like, when they have like the blue screen and they're putting
when they
up like the stats.
Or when they're dead.
Yeah.
The video
no, when
here,
the person's
Chappelle,
like,
if you, you have the video, like yeah. to see it.
No, it's more like the interview. It's more like the interview where they're like, yeah, she went to the store and she never came back. And I have reason to believe. And like in the background, there's like the blues, you know, that's the Cheaters music, Kevin. It's not sentimental at all. It's just sad.
We don't need that. We don't need a Cheater segment.
Can I just say I'm grateful for Cheaters references in 2020? Like,
you're welcome.
I'm about ready to start a Cheaters rewatch podcast.
We'll start so that.
Chappelle, hey, hit me
sign
up.
Me up. Yeah, sign me up.
If Survivor doesn't get back, get their operation under control soon. That's what we're going to be doing in 2021. Nicole's birth announcement. Cheaters.
Let's bring back Joey Greco. Like Joey Greco.
Season 3, episode 7 of Cheaters. Put me down.
Put it down. If it was streaming anywhere, we could do it. Okay,
I'll find it.
All right. Let's talk about Ian and the punishment. Melissa, what was the name of this movie?
I forgot.
Star Wars. All Star Trek. Star Wars, which I don't know if like the plural, the double plural makes sense, but
I think that had to be vetted by legal. I think.
Yeah. I don't think they could
use more S's that on there through. Just in case.
I'm surprised that got through.
Okay. Chappelle, that, what are we going for here with Dirk Space Hammer? It seems to be
Jammer.
First of all, Rob, Jammer, Space Jammer. Space Hammer is a different movie. No, you don't want to see that movie.
We don't know anything about the hammer involved.
Right. That's why they keep cutting Ian with the shirt off because of Space Hammer. We don't want any parts of that. I thought on the feeds that they said Space Hammer. So I really did think this was some type of like some nasty, this is some freaky stuff that they're talking about. And then I saw Space Jam. I'm like, oh, okay, that's Space Jam, like Michael Jordan, you know, Bugs Bunny, that kind of thing. I thought that's where we were going. That is not where we were going. I'm sadly mistaken. But it seemed like, it seemed interesting. I'm not sure what the plot is at all.
Well, I was going to say, can we piece together the plot, Jenny? Are you able to take anything away from, what were the scenes that we saw? We saw Ian.
There's a romance.
Yeah, there's some sort of a romance where Dirk is trying to pick up some sort of a pilot.
You're a damn fine pilot. Emphasis on fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Was
there
a
dead robot? A dead robot at one point or another.
Vaughn was an alien at one point. The robot died.
You would think with the acting coach in the house, Ian would have done a lot better. You know, now that we found out about Davon being this acting coach, now I expected greatness. Obviously, she didn't step in like she should have. I saw on the feeds that she did do something, but maybe we might want to look toward a career change for Davon. I'm not sure it paid off. What do you think?
I mean, I definitely learned more about what Ian was doing incorrectly than anything about what was actually going on in this plot. So,
Oh,
yeah, that guy was an a-hole. The yelling at Ian every 2 seconds. That was crazy.
The director.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? I think Taryn tweeted this, but if you wake me up in the middle of the night to be the love interest to Dirk Space Jammer, I'm going to win the veto. I'm going to backdoor you. I'm going to evict you. Like, I will walk you out the house on my own. Please let me sleep. Like, just don't talk to me. Talk to Kevin. Get the music going, but don't talk to me in the middle of the night about Dirk Space Hammer Jammer.
Right. If you're on the block, you feel like, okay, all right, let me get up and help Ian because maybe he'll give me a vote.
Yeah. But other than that, I don't want to hear about what Space Jammer Hammer Jammer has to do at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, after a whole day of like all this craziness. Like, no, I don't want to be talked to. So not a fan of it. Not a fan at all.
I personally enjoy these punishments that are just as annoying for the person doing them as it is for everyone else in the house, where other people need to be involved. There's some sort of like thing that goes over the, the speakers, like the, and I am also a big fan of Big Brother's obsession with like, they can never take themselves too seriously. This is one of the beautiful things about Big Brother. They will never get tired of the let's interrupt the veto meeting shtick with the,
like, I didn't see it coming tonight.
Every time.
Wow, Rob. Well, you're the reason why this continues, because there's always going to be someone being like,
they got me.
How clever.
Yeah.
I this is my first live show after for the recap or whatever. And I told my friends, you know, like, I know you don't really watch Big Brother, but you should watch it this time. I promise it won't be stupid. And then they see Dirk Space Rammer, and I'm like, you know what, guys?
Space Rammer.
That's not his name. I told him, like, you know what, guys? It's not that kind of. Just skip this one. I'll send you something else. Yeah.
You are never safe when you tell your friends it's not going to be dumb, or it's you got to watch it this time.
Yeah, that's
you will always lose every time, and I found that out on my own every time. It is.
See, when I found out that I was going to be on the Wednesday recap, I was excited because I was like, the Wednesday episode is always stupid. There's always a really dumb competition. We had banana riding last week. Mm-hmm. And, obviously the competition wasn't that stupid this week, but we were still going to get something dumb and ridiculous. And that is also my favorite part of Big Brother. So
yeah,
maybe not the best night to recruit someone when you are trying to sell the strategy of the show. But if you are like me and enjoys the stupid part of it, it's a perfect night.
Yeah, but truly perfect tonight. Okay. So we're going to get to our veto competition. And this was, you know, I don't know if we are sort of because of the limitations with COVID, of if these are going to be more along the lines of these competitions that we're going to see. But this was basically, I tweeted this out. This reminds me of that one Survivor challenge. That's every Survivor challenge.
Literally every post-marriage challenge that ever existed.
See,
and the only thing we missed the only thing that was missing was Jeff going like, the balls, grab the balls, make
Memphis's
sure your balls
ball
don't separate.
Hasn't moved.
That's all
I was really expecting more ball commentary from Enzo of all people, but I would still take Enzo taking Julie's job if it came to it. but
first, yo. Okay.
I also enjoyed Enzo when he reads the instruction, like the directions for the competition. He like is throwing his hands down like he's like freestyle rapping or something.
Yeah.
Like anytime he's delivering. Yeah, exactly. Anytime he's delivering any sort of line, like he's really got that gusto. So, Rob, we've already discussed this. You gotta look out for this guy. He has a future in media of some sort. But the thing about this competition is just that it was like a Survivor challenge, but just so extra. Like, why did we have to have these big, like, neon? I guess they got the social distancing right. These giant stars that they were standing on that definitely kept them at least 6 feet apart. Not that it matters because they're in the house together, but it just seemed so over the top for no reason. When the point of the challenge was literally the same as a Survivor, where you're holding like a piece of wood with a ball on it. So.
Yeah. I think that this was weather related, that they knew they were going to do it for nighttime. So they really wanted to, like, this was like the mini golf course that's like going to light everything up in neon because it's going to be people going there at nighttime. So I think they really just wanted to play up the trying to make it look cool for nighttime competition.
Are they doing nighttime competitions because it's so hot in LA right now?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a part of the challenge that we overlooked, though, is the physical aspect of holding those things up. Like, if you wanted to give Nicole Anthony a chance to save herself, maybe don't give her like a 25-pound, like these two huge things to like balance. Like, if you were just balancing it on Survivor, they use like strings, you know, so that you kind of just can counterbalance it on your own. But to have her up there against Memphis, who's, you know, we've already explored has dad bod strength, and like Tyler, who apparently it can win any challenge if he puts his mind to it, except this one. You put her up there, and of course she's like the first one out, and she took it really hard. But like, honestly, like Kevin said, when the music started playing, he couldn't have done it either, and neither could I. I don't think I would have. So I don't know. I don't think it was very fair to her, but maybe y'all have a different opinion.
No,
I don't think it was fair at all. I think that there's absolutely zero way I would have been able to do that, because like, like leave aside like balancing the ball on that thing, but even just holding that thing up. I mean, I have literally no arm strength whatsoever. There is absolutely no way I would be able to do that. And I think that it was not a fair competition, like at all.
Especially because like the survivor versions we've seen of this are like Chappelle saying is like normally just something fairly light or like some sort of like platform of wood. This had like lights coming out of it. Like it was like LED and shit. And like, it was just like giant poles and stuff. Like it was way more elaborate than it needed to be. I have to believe that it was way heavier than, and so it wasn't even so much about balancing the ball. Like it was likely a very heavy thing to hold.
Okay. It was a tough competition. We know that Tyler was really motivated to try to beat Memphis in this competition because not only did he put David up on the block, but also he didn't even want to do anything about Tyler being part of the four-person alliance.
Hey, Memphis, where you at? Show us where you really stand, man.
Yeah, Tyler was fired up, so he felt like that he had a shot, David had a shot. All they had to do was beat Memphis, and David would come down. And as we mentioned, a couple people went out early.
This already burned so bad.
You got it.
Frickin' A.
Nicole Franzel could not hang in there.
Frickin' A.
Nope. Mother frickin' A.
I love all the Nicole Franzel obscenities. I love it so much. One day, Chappelle, do you think that one day we'll just see Nicole Franzel just lose it and just have to be like bleeped for like 10 seconds straight?
Yeah, mother fricker, you frickin' frick. Yeah, she's just gonna go off. Like it's gonna be like when she goes to eliminate Janelle, she's backdoored her and everything like that is about to happen. The moment she's about to walk out the door and then boom, like halting hex. And Nicole's just going to lose it. Her head explodes. She walks, like she storms out the house and she goes gets pregnant days later. Like that's, she goes and gets fricked days later. And that's it. That's the end of her story. I think that's
please
what it's going to be.
Cause please don't curse.
She's
going to.
She's gonna lose it.
The mother freaker.
The mother freaker.
Yeah, that's how that works. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, apparently, but yeah, she's gonna lose it. The moment, I think maybe that's another reason why Memphis is so like hesitant to like try to get like Janelle on the block. Like, are the producers really gonna allow me to do some backhand stuff to like, I don't know, America's like favorite player of all time? Like, what are the odds that something doesn't, you know, safety sweet her out like the first week? So I don't know. Maybe that'll be the thing that pushes Nicole over the edge.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Yeah, a twist that goes in Janelle's favor could be that could just break Nicole.
Rachel Riley comes in the house, Pandora's box, and she just torments Nicole for like a whole day and follows her around the house like she did Reagan. That's
honestly
what it is.
Yeah,
you just have to wait for like a fan vote, and then I just think that's what's going to blow it. I think that she's going to be like, are you serious? Like, I don't understand Rachel. That's exactly, like, honestly, it's going to be that there's going to be a vote and Janelle is going to get it. And then everyone on that side is going to be like, what the heck? Like, I thought we were the fan favorites. And, you know,
which is right. Always my favorite.
I love that part. Yeah. Brother, if you're listening, even if it's just like, give them a treat or something, you know, like anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So we get down to it's David, it's Tyler, and it's Memphis. And this is a bizarre thing that happens. Memphis has something that's bothering him, and he yells out,
"Can someone come punch me?" Seriously?
Like, what? Wait, punch you?
I thought at that moment David was just going to run across. Like, just,
I got this.
Like, I'll do it. I volunteer.
Like, I'm not going to win this challenge anyway. Yeah, like, that's it.
Yeah.
You asked.
Seriously. Get away.
I want someone to punch, kill the bug that's literally climbing on my nipple right now.
Okay. Jenny, I'm reminded of the question.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or do you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
I mean, this is the closest we've ever come to answering that question, right? Like, Memphis is like, hey, so could somebody just come and beat my ass right now so I don't have to deal with this mosquito? That's how it works, right? I take one beating.
Could you fight this giant mosquito for me? Yeah. Well, I mean, at least if he loses his nipple to the bug on it, Enzo might be able to hook him up with a new nipple as the resident nipple salesman.
The Mayo Nipple Factory, yo.
Yeah.
Chappelle, have you ever asked somebody to punch you because you have a bug on you?
No.
Why punch? No.
Like, why punch of all things? Like, how about come get this bug off of me? But I really did. I thought at that moment David was going to, like, see the writing on the walls that, you know what, I can't win this competition. And the moment Memphis said it, I just knew he was going to just drop him and just go punch him. And then, like, hey, he asked me to do it and get away with it. Because Memphis has been playing this, like, 80s TV villain all, like, week. Oh, like, he's got, like, the sleeves off. He's, like, the bad guy from The Karate Kid. And I just knew David at that point was going to, like, just, like, yeah, David was just going to go in and just kick him in the face or punch him. So I thought that was the moment, but we didn't get it. It's an odd choice. Definitely punch me in the nipple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is the bug underneath his shirt on his literal nipple or is it on
Jenny,
the outside?
That's the problem with that vest and no shirt underneath, that bugs could crawl up and then be attracted, go right on your nipple.
Yeah, he's truly asking for it. So
one time he wore a real shirt, there was a bug on his nipple. But he's been walking around with a denim vest on and nothing else. And there's been no bugs, no problems.
It might have just been the itch from a previous bite not wearing the shirt. And he
those LED lights are like attracting the bugs to him.
Because it's like a bug zapper. Except it doesn't zap the bug. Right.
There you go.
Like bringing them in, bringing them closer. All right. David, he has a plan. He's been playing possum in this season. He's ready to outthink everybody because he's got a way to win this power of veto. He is going to do the move where you just start screaming randomly to throw everybody off. Here's David.
Oh!
Why are we screaming?
Terrifying.
I forgot how loud the second one was.
Yeah.
Bailey did him no favors. Bailey did him no favors. What is he doing? That's like, oh, creep, weirdo. Like, why are you like that?
Yes. But what David doesn't realize is that this is already Memphis's move. This is every time Memphis has come into a room for any ceremony for being the HOH.
Hey, guys!
Oh, my gosh.
Hey! Perfect place in the veto competition.
So aggressive and scary. I would just
hey!
He slides in the room like Kramer.
Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, my God, Memphis, you scared me. But you can't out scream and scare Memphis.
Screaming as a strategy. Who knew that this is where we were in 2020?
Yeah.
And Memphis went straight back to that villain role of like, ha ha ha, you fool. Your strategy could not defeat me. And his mouth still moving like from one of those like dubbed animes. Like, you fool.
Yeah. This was Memphis.
How dare you?
This was Memphis.
Yeah. That's what I mean by screaming. Such an amateur move.
This Memphis is like, he holds himself on such a pedestal over David that like, did anybody, if like 2 months ago, if anybody's like, okay, give us your list of top 50 Big Brother legends, is Memphis sniffing anybody's list? Like, he's so much like David. Come on, buddy. Yeah, what do you think you are? Come on.
I mean, to his credit, if Memphis is 51 on the list, David's like 99. Like, it's like.
Yeah, so but he makes it like that they just found this guy. Like he was on a season. Like,
but is that maybe something behind Memphis's disdain for David, where he just feels like, you know, well, maybe I feel like I got the call pretty late, or I, you know, might not be seen as on the same caliber as some of these other people. I didn't, you know, come like.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's feeling like, you know, well, David, like at least he went first. So that's one person who isn't as good as me. So I'm going to fixate on that. You think that you'd want to keep that person around.
Right. You want to keep him around for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Rob, it's like if you were the alternate on All Stars to Ryan Aiken.
Yeah.
Like, what is this guy doing here? Like, what are you talking
Rookie.
About?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that that's an interesting point, Chappelle. Were they both alternates for this season, or was Memphis on the real cast and David was an alternate and then got bumped up because Josh isn't there?
No, I would like to believe that David was always going to be like in the cast. Now, I have nothing to prove that. But in my mind, in this time where you're looking for diversity and you only got like seven mm-hmm. black men you can choose from, you're like, it's Howard.
Okay.
Devin, bro.
So
David,
Wait, so hold on. So do you think that Memphis was the alternate and that Memphis got bumped in? He's like, oh, I can't believe this guy got on the main cast. Yeah. And I was the alternate. Screw him, rookie.
Honestly, though, because from the rumor mill, and like, yeah. you know, it's hard because there was so much happening during the preseason in terms of rumors, and, you know, some panned out and some didn't. But from what I saw, and I wasn't as dialed in as like some people were, David's name was out there way earlier than Memphis's. I don't recall Memphis really circulating until around when Casey and Josh fell off of the list. And David's name was on there a lot earlier. So I really do think that there was a chance that Memphis was the alternate and that David was already locked in. And you have to think, like, people knew the names that were circulating. Obviously, all this pre-gaming was happening. So you might be onto something with this, Rob.
Yeah. I also heard
that Memphis didn't watch last season. So
he literally has no idea who he is.
Right. So I think also it's just like he doesn't know anything about him or Nicole. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just kind of like, whatever.
Well, David doesn't know who Memphis is. So I think they're on even playing field for that matter. But, you know, like, could you imagine they call Keisha? They're like, Keisha, we need you. And they're like, but we need someone else. And Keisha's like, have you tried Memphis? He's like, Memphis, I have his number. And then like she like forwards the number, and then Memphis is too like added, because, you know, Casey and Josh were kind of looked at like those two were going to be there for like Tyler and whoever, I don't remember, and so like you know, whoever they were bringing in as pairs. But you go get Memphis or you go get Keisha, and then you're like, Memphis probably isn't doing anything.
They were like, boy, we're stuck. Pop in Big Brother 10. Let's see what we see. They were like one missed phone call away from putting Rennie and Jerry on this season. Taryn in the chat says Memphis has said he was an alternate. So I wonder if he's like, hey, how could they call him before me? Some animosity towards David. All right. Nicole Anthony, she's upset. She did not do well in this competition.
Oh my God, like, I'm on the block, my ass is on the line.
Okay.
I don't think you can blame yourself for something like that, like a physical competition like that. Like, if you actually did like a bad job, then what? Like, what's the funny thing? Because I really do think that's the case. I think she's blaming herself when it's clear that like there's no way she could have beat them. Like, there's absolutely no way. And it just, the deck was stacked against her. Like, I don't think it was anything like, oh, she didn't like slip and fall or like put, you know, Technotronics on the thing. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, what is she supposed to do?
Listen, I'm not laughing at your point. I just, that the way Nicole Anthony says ass, makes me laugh. That's
I love her accent. It's so funny.
Oh my God. Like, I'm on the block. My ass is on the line.
My ass is on the line. My ass is on the line. I do actually really enjoy that now that I heard it again. Oh my ass. No, I feel really bad for her because, you know, we've seen it in spades this last week, how, you know, her self-confidence is really coming into play here. And she's like, she's got a level of anxiety about, you know, doing poorly. And she's beating herself up a lot about this. She's saying over and over again, am I that stupid? Am I dumb? Did I make this mistake? And so I think that, you know, she's beating herself up about this competition that, as Melissa just said, there was no universe where she was ever going to win that competition. So yeah. There's no reason for her to be beating herself up. It's very, very hard to watch. Nicole is definitely that kind of person, like that little like wounded baby bird that you want to like take
in. No, don't say birds. She hates birds.
I know she hates them. But in this case, it's a wounded baby bird that maybe we want to nurse back to health. Maybe she would not. But
I have a fear of birds.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really hard to watch, and this is going to permeate through you know, the stuff even on the feeds for this whole week, where her confidence is really taking a hit for being on the block in the second week, and feeling like she's letting herself down and letting her family down. So it's I found this, you know, part of the episode very, very hard to watch. Listen, personally,
that for the Nicole Anthony, one day if you're watching this, just know that nobody's mad at you for not doing good in the competition.
Yeah, right. That's
not why people
are mad at you. Yeah. That's not it.
People are mad at you for much, much, much more. And I hate that for her too, because she's going to get out the house and she's going to see it, and it's going to make it seem like the world hates her just because of, you know, her bad reads this week. Mm-hmm. But I think another thing that's getting to her is that, like, the person who has her ear the closest, I think, is like Kevin. And like, Kevin's like, oh, you didn't do that bad. And she's like, yeah, but you're Kevin. Like, get away from me. Like, you know, like sure, you're saying that, but Kevin, come on. Compared to you, yeah, I'm doing great. You know, like, she's not getting a lot of like reassurance from Kevin himself. I hate to pick on him, but I really just thought we were going to get more from Kevin. And he's been letting me down, sadly. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
It's only week two. It's only week two. You can maybe figure it out. All right.
Also, I feel like, just like to say something else about Kevin, I feel like he's not doing a good job as an ally of hers to make her feel more confident and comfortable. I feel like he constantly is telling her, like, yeah, it really sucks that the people you thought were closest to her are totally betraying you. They've absolutely made you look like a fool. And, you know, I feel bad for you about that. And it's like, okay, like, first of all, you're wrong. Second of all, like, that makes her feel worse. Like, you're not doing a good job of making her feel better. You're actively like bringing her down and like making her feel bad about herself, when maybe she doesn't necessarily have to feel that way, because number one, her allies are not making her look stupid and her are not betraying her. So like, she's just feeling all this pressure and feeling all this negativity because he's bringing that to her.
In fairness, Nicole Anthony has never, has she had like a solid ally that helps her game ever in Big Brother?
Cliff?
Yeah, Cliff.
Yeah? That's what we're going with?
Like Ovi, if Ovi was in the game?
Yeah.
It's Bella. It's tough. It's difficult. I mean, we're going to see this and we'll probably get a lot more of it on tomorrow's episode.
At least Kevin had her back.
Yeah. I mean, that is honestly the story of, you know, what Nicole's carrying with her for this season, is that she's never felt properly supported, and she's having these doubts about literally anyone at this point, anyone that could be possibly helping her. Any reasonable doubt cast, she, you know, because she's got this anxiety in her already about this happening, you know, it's like the, you know, Kevin is watering the garden of self-doubt and anxiety in this case.
No, that's absolutely the case. That's absolutely true. And it's frustrating because, like, you know, the chat is pointing out, like, Kevin does have reason to doubt Janelle, and he's projecting that onto Nicole and making Nicole think that she has reason to doubt Janelle, when Nicole doesn't have reason to doubt Janelle. But like, Kevin's convincing, and Kevin's supposedly your friend, and your friend is telling you that you look stupid, and your friend is telling you that, like, you know, everyone's against you. And, you know, it does make you feel that way if your friend is telling you these things.
The other thing is that Kevin is a soft, comforting presence. And one of the things that a lot of people find very stannable about Janelle is that she's cold, and she's not a fuzzy, warm person. She's not hugging you and being like, you know what I mean? She doesn't coddle people. She's like, let's go and get shit done. And that's always been Janelle. And I think that, a person like Nicole Anthony, you know, she's a sensitive person, and she definitely she feeds into the influence of someone that comforts her. So Kevin is the comfort. Kevin is very, very good at being that soft and, you know, comforting ally. And Janelle is very factual and being like, it is what it is. Like, let's move on. Let's be positive and let's figure it out. And I think that that is also part of the problem here, is that she's never going to get the, oh, Pookie, here's a hug from Janelle type care. It's just not Janelle.
Okay.
Janelle is a Capricorn.
That's from Nitro Nick in the chat. All right. Yes. Ultimately, nominations are going to stay the same. At least the producers got to throw Ian a bone at the veto ceremony. And so we head into Thursday night, David versus Nicole Anthony. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that in a moment. Let's take a couple questions, see what people have to say about this episode. And then we definitely have live feed stuff to talk about tonight. Okay. Let's take a couple of questions here from the episode. This is from Hannah on Twitter. Why did Nicole F. get a good edit tonight?
Why?
I have no idea.
She's in a good position. I don't know.
She has many PR sessions, like, and it's really not even, I mean, I could understand having like one or something to say, like, you know, I don't want to get backdoored, but I felt like it was just over and over, just constantly Nicole, when I don't really feel like she's played a big part in this week at all. I feel like we missed a lot of DRs from people who I would have been interested to hear from, to see what their perspective on the week is and what they're truly thinking. I would have liked to have seen Bailey and Dave on, maybe. Like, I feel like
they're
right now I'm a little
tonight.
Yeah,
was
totally.
Christmas on the show?
Yeah.
Was Christmas in the house, or did she get like, went out of the house again for her leg, right? She's like out at the hospital and then she's going to come back.
She's getting a checkup. She'll be back for Thursday to vote.
They're still milking the Christmas puns for the preview, because you better be in this for the long haul. Like, we're getting the Christmas puns in the last time on Big Brother for weeks to come. But I think the other thing is that, like, they're presenting a narrative for the edited version, and it's boring when the HOH wins veto, mm-hmm. and the expectation and ultimate like decision is that the nominations don't change. And the only real narrative was, oh, well, Janelle wants Nicole backdoored and the Alliance wants Janelle backdoored. And what's Memphis going to do, because these are his two options? So I really think that that's more of the reason we were getting Nicole content, because they need to like stir up some sort of like, for, you know, for the casuals that don't realize that the nominations stay the same. Maybe something might happen here. Is Memphis going to go with Janelle and Kayser because they don't realize that, you know, he's in with the Alliance and the Alliance is getting mad at Memphis? So I don't even necessarily think that it was about giving Nicole a good edit. It's more as that this was the convenient storyline to maybe, you know, get some drama for the eventual nothing that happened.
I agree with that, but I do also think, like, I mean, where was the Janelle side? Like, where was the Janelle edit? Like, I feel like we missed that. And especially when they're talking about their, like, quote unquote feud, we got Nicole saying, like, I have no idea. Like, why? And then we don't get literally anything from Janelle being I have nothing wrong with, like, I mean, it doesn't seem like Janelle has literally anything personally wrong with Nicole, but it does feel like it's solely based on game. There's probably some personal stuff in there too, but I do think that she has like game motives behind it, and yet we didn't see her side of this feud. It just makes it seem petty. It makes it seem like she's being super mean to Nicole, and that Nicole has done literally nothing wrong, and poor Nicole, and we need to be like sad for her. And I get it. I sound like a Janelle stan. Maybe I am. I am. But, you know, like, it's just, I was hoping that it'd be more like, maybe number one, I thought maybe we'd find out some more information as to the feud that they have. Like, but instead it was just Nicole saying, I have no idea.
And the only thing I could think is that they're maybe warming things up for, because this continues to, I mean, it's been permeating the whole season thus far. But, you know, we have a lot that we need to get to tomorrow, I assume, hopefully. So maybe this is the warm up to the storyline for tomorrow. Yeah. I have to think that we're hopefully going to get a little bit more from Janelle's side, because I don't believe that the producers and the editors are not going to let Janelle look bad in this situation. I just truly don't think that that's the case. But the week is not over yet. I think that we could get a little bit more of Janelle's perspective tomorrow night, and maybe this is just their way of trying to present a possible option for you know, the veto. Did it mic? Hammer just
came.
What happened?
I don't know.
It's so bizarre.
Chappelle, is it possible that that Nicole Franzel in the editing booth wanted to have the episode go up this way?
Oh, yeah. Well, we know Nicole has been pulling the strings about the entire production this entire time. So, I mean, I wouldn't put it past her to make that call and say, you know what? We don't really need to hear Janelle's side of the story. We don't need to hear from Christmas at all, but we definitely don't need to hear Janelle's side of the story. Like, Nicole didn't even vote for Christmas to be on this season. So that's why she's out. But the
We're going to get like so many conspiracy theorists. Like, if Nicole wins, they're going to like, oh, we called it since day one preseason. Nicole's been pulling the strings. She's been controlling production.
She's coming back.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's exactly. We were going to get. People are going to fight it, and they're going to say it's not legit. It's not real. Yeah. This is not a real win. You know, it's going to be.
Wow, I can't wait.
Okay, let's take another question. Our friend Once Upon an Island says, "Is Memphis wanting to keep bigger targets around so he can hide himself after his HOH?" reign is done. Do we think that Memphis is going for a meat shield thing here?
I don't think so. I think really what he's trying to do is play the middle. And it's not really just a meat shield because he's, you know, Janelle and Kacer have no reason to doubt him. Well, they do, but they haven't identified that reason. And then those other four people, if one of those gets picked off, he has to beat these people eventually. So if it's not him who's doing it, so what does it matter? They're not going to backdoor Memphis, you know? So I think he's okay with like letting them shoot at each other for a while. Not so much as a meat shield, but if as long as the guns aren't pointed at him, then I don't think he cares. I just think he handled it so wrong. Like at the beginning of the week, if you had asked me who should Memphis put up and who's he probably going to put up, I would have said the same people who are on the block right now, David and Nicole. And he could have done that and nobody would have cared. Only people who would be sad is Kevin and Janelle. She'd get over it. Kevin would be fine. Like life would go on. But he just marched around the house like he was running everything. Nicole said he has a big head and physically he does. I mean, he's huge, but he also is getting full of himself as well, you know? So I think that's what Memphis's game is. It's like, sure, we got Janelle and Kacer and they're bound to win a competition. Janelle is competitions. So if she wins and she takes out Nicole F, what do I care? You know, she's close to Cody and she picked Cody over me, so she can go. That's cool.
I think this was a really great week. That this was a lot of excitement, especially for Memphis coming in. And the bar was low. We thought, oh, okay, this is just going to be really by the book. And it's been anything but, and it could go in a lot of different interesting directions. So I think that this was a really good week, too, for the season. And so we'll see what happens with Thursday night. But I think that these sides, there are a lot of fractures here. I don't think that this thing is very settled. So we'll see going into week three. And especially if we get like a out of the ordinary HOH, that who knows where this could go from here. Okay. All right. Another question. This is from Danny Briones, winner BB22. Why is CBS Big Brother highlighting this committee alliance as if that's the only thing that's going on? Melissa,
I think it's the simplest explanation.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think it's like Memphis is in power. It's the simplest thing to just be like, okay, Memphis isn't going to, you know, put up someone from his own alliance. And that is what Memphis thinks the house is. And also, like, to be fair, we have no idea what these other outside alliances, like which of them are going to survive, which of them are real, which of them are anything. I'm kind of hoping for a DR from people that will explain like, okay, I'm loyal to this one, I'm loyal to that one, whatever. But at this point, it'd be like 2 hours of trying to explain like the various versions of these alliances, which are literally just like one person substituted, two people substituted here. And it's not really, none of it matters until someone gets into power next week. So.
Okay. All right. Let's do one more question. And let's talk about the feeds. Okay. Let's see. Oh, this is from Alex Bragg. Settle the argument with me and my wife. Is the denim top Memphis wearing a vest or a shirt? Okay. Chappelle, is this a vest or a shirt or is it both?
I can't believe that picture is on the screen. I'm sorry. Would it stop? it's a vest. I don't know. Did he make the vest? Was it originally a shirt and or a jacket? And now it's like, you seen the movie The Outsiders, and you got like, he's wearing like,
Boy.
Yes, yes. That's what that is. That's Tony the same outfit. Yeah. And that was the year that Memphis played Big Brother the first time.
It
was
1943.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. It's all coming together.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, I don't understand. I just want you to take it off the screen. Thank you. No, you covered up Jenny. Take it off the screen.
I didn't. I think Nicole Franzel got her because she's on. Oh, God. We dropped her. Yeah, we'll get her.
I vote best, but I'm not okay with it.
Okay. All right. Scott, yeah, one more question and then we'll talk live feeds. Okay, let's do one more. Okay. Trevor says, how old does Tyler think Memphis is? Look, Memphis, I think, is 37 years old. Memphis is look, maybe some of our younger listeners are like, wow, that is really old, but I think that
37 is not old.
Yeah, I don't think Memphis is actually that that old. Maybe am I short on that? Okay, let me see.
No, maybe
right. I think he is 37, and I think that Tyler is the youngest person on the cast, I think, so I think that probably he sees 37 as old. But
well, yeah, you know, like kid, like how little kids have no like concept of how old somebody is. So when you meet a child, you're like, how old are you? You're like, you're 50 million. Like that's Tyler walking in the house. Like you must be this many old, you know? So I think that's what's happening with Memphis. Yeah. Like he saw the vest and was like, this guy definitely only knows black and white televisions. if he's, that, you know,
37, I think he might even technically be a millennial.
Yeah.
No, I think
Memphis, I think, is on the like early end of Gen X.
Okay.
Well, maybe not. What is it? He's 82.
He's December 82. Does that change?
He's 82 years old. That's closer to what Tyler was thinking. He's because 82. Tyler thought, right, 82. That makes sense. That explains that hat as well. You know. So
yeah. Okay. All right. Last one, and then live feeds. Was Memphis this hilarious the last time he played? I don't remember ever laughing at him. This guy is a great villain. Is Memphis saying anything that's intentionally humorous?
I don't think any of it is intentional.
No, yeah, definitely not intentionally hilarious. But he's definitely, settled into the person we love to hate, the villain. Everyone, we always need one. We always need someone to get the HOH-itis. And we're getting the diary rooms of his alliance, you know, already being like, what is this guy doing? So that's all we need from him.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk about spoilers because we need to talk about this vote tomorrow. It's just a little spoiler alert for the spoilers. It's been a fluid situation. So let's check in. Let's talk about it. If you want to bounce out now and be surprised on Thursday night, look, this thing could change 9 more times before we get to Thursday.
You probably could just stay and we could just like...
you might as well stay because this could go either way. So, I think we might be in coin flip territory at this point. But here's the spoiler alert.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
I don't know where the buzzer is. I haven't found it yet in Big Brother 22.
Tragic.
Yes. So just, one counterpoint for Nicole and Kevin thinking about having kids. They touch your stuff. Okay. All right. We are 24 hours, less than 24 hours away from the vote. Melissa, it looked like that Nicole Anthony was dead in the water, but the dueling campaign, not since Becky and Sundra went toe-to-toe, have we seen a matchup like the horse race between Nicole Anthony and David. At this hour, who's going home?
I think it's Nicole. I think David's going to stay. But it's so hard to tell. I just feel like every time I check, it's different. And it's not only like, okay, people are doing good work to save themselves. It's like people are doing bad work and then falling out of favor with people who were planning on voting to keep them. That like, oh, wait, are they actually going to vote to keep them now that they've done this? Or like now that this has happened? So it really...
Okay.
I have no idea.
Can we talk through the sides of, like, who are the guaranteed vote to evict Nicole votes? Who are the guaranteed vote to evict David votes, if there are such things?
I mean, Tyler would vote to evict Nicole. I think Kacer and Janelle are going to vote to evict David. But at the same time, I don't know if anyone will vote on the opposite side of the house. Like, I think everyone's going to want to, like, end up voting as a house. And I don't know, except for Kevin. Kevin says he's going to keep Nicole.
Okay. Nicole has Kevin. And does she have Janelle and Kacer? How has she not lost them yet?
I thought she was about to lose them earlier today because
because I think that maybe there might be some people listening that may not know about Jenny. Could you sum that up, the bizarre situation?
In one answer, no, I cannot sum it up.
Could you attempt to? Could you try?
I will attempt. So basically, Nicole is absolutely in her own head and is going back to why was I nominated in the first place, and is really feeling like Janelle and Kacer did not go to bat for her. And we're still talking about Janelle going up and having wine in the HOH with Memphis, and that, you know, she really felt like they had her back and there's no reason for her to be on the block in the first place. All of this has already happened. And the other thing is that a lot of these players are really trying to not show their cards. So they're not trying to show that there are sides. And Janelle and Kacer become the scapegoat for absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And Nicole is really getting in her own head about whether Janelle and Kacer truly have her back. And now she's starting to get really pent up, and her anxiety is at an all-time high, and she's questioning their loyalty to her, and her conversations with other people about her questioning of Janelle and Kacer is almost making more traction to keep her when those are the two people that are lobbying hardest for her to stay. It's absolutely so bizarre. But this afternoon, I mean, she's been talking about having a house meeting. It hasn't happened. And we finally saw her get a little bit confrontational with Janelle earlier this afternoon, where she was like, again, back to the like, well, why am I on the block in the first place? Like, I feel like you guys sold me out. And she said it was bull crap. And she walked out of the room that she was in with Janelle. And I was like, okay, Nicole has finally had it. And she's going to pop off towards Janelle and Kacer, and this might end up losing those two, but possibly gaining the very, very vocal anti-Janelle and Kacer contingent in the house. So it's absolutely confusing because the votes for who you might think they would vote for could possibly change depending on people's fear of Janelle and Kacer.
Yeah. Chappelle, at any point this week, did Janelle and Kacer say, like, hey, we're not going to save you. Enough with you.
they realize what, you know, Kacer is telling Janelle, like, you know, we don't really have to do this, you know. But I think Janelle's really invested in Nicole as a player and as a person. She cried, you know, like, just like, I'll leave this game if you get evicted and stuff like that. We're like, that's not even the Janelle we know. Like, we could see her saying that about Kacer, but not Nicole Anthony, who she just met, you know, in theory. So I think it's odd, but I think the thing that's really fueling all of this is Memphis. Memphis is an insane person. And so because he put up, like, Nicole is looking at Janelle and saying, you're my ally. So you say, and your ally, Memphis, put me on the block while you were in the room laughing and joking with him and drinking wine. So something right here doesn't add up. And Janelle is trying to say, Memphis is insane. I don't know why he did this, but I'm trying to undo it. And she's like, yeah, but did you really try to undo it? Like, you know, so that's the issue. It doesn't make sense because logically, the things that Memphis did this week did not make sense. He should have told his alliance what was going on. He should have been able to be open with either side. And he was not open with Janelle. He was not open with Cody. So when all lines point back to Memphis, and Janelle is the connector to Memphis and Nicole, and there's no logical reason why Janelle, Nicole's ally, shouldn't have been able to keep her off the block. And so that's why it's not making sense to Nicole Anthony right now.
Well, so why isn't it working, though? If Nicole hates Janelle and Kacer now, why don't the other people in the house say, okay, well, then why don't we keep her?
Because they want to get, they want Janelle and Kacer out too. And they're like, yeah, we can do this as well. Literally everybody in the house
don't
wants
need
Janelle
you.
And Kacer out.
Where we, well, yeah, we're doing that like, anyway.
Yeah, everybody's doing that anyway. It's not like Nicole is some like major player that like they can't do it without her. Like they're all like, yeah, so what? The rest of us want them out too. Literally everybody but Janelle and Kacer want Janelle and Kacer out. So like, why do we need you to help us with that? And not only that, David wants to get them out too. So it's like, yeah, if there's no difference between the two of them, except for that David is actually aligned with like Tyler and, you know, and maybe Cody or whatever. And also Davon and Bailey, like, you know, he's got them. So it's, well, we think he has them, who knows anymore. But the point is that it's just like, there's no rhyme or reason really for anything. And Nicole is convinced that Janelle and Kacer are against her for whatever reason, but you know, she won't like talk to them until today, literally until today. She wouldn't like actually just sit them down, which is what they asked for on the round table yesterday. I was like, why can't she just sit them down and say like, look, this is what I'm feeling. Like you guys seemingly have betrayed me, have thrown me under the bus. Like what's the deal with that? And just like get it out in the open with them, because instead she's been running around to everybody else and saying that she's upset with them. But then when they try and talk to her, she just like storms off, like really, like it slams the door. It's like she won't talk to them. And then she twists their conversation around to everybody else in the house to convince them that Janelle and Kacer are these like bullies or something. I don't know. It's, and I get that Nicole is in a bad position and I get that she's upset and I get that, you know, she's like still stressed out from her last time in the house and that she's like taking that and kind of putting it on to this season. But it's like, none of this makes sense, Nicole. Like, don't you see?
Well, yeah, I think she could see it if she wasn't going back to Kevin. Like every time she's about to catch on, Kevin's like, oh God, they hate you so much. Don't they hate you? Don't you see what they're doing?
It's like the little devil on her shoulder or something. Yeah. It's like, you're gross. Everyone hates you. It's like, right.
He's like, I like you, but these other people, they think you're a virgin who can't drive. So they're like, so she never gets the traction she wants. No. He might have said it.
Why would they say she can't drive?
Yeah, he might have. He's from New York. He might have said it.
Feeds were off when that happened.
Feeds were off. Yeah, who? You don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's what it is. I think every time there's a moment of clarity of like, you know, why are they trying to save me? Kevin is literally in the background going, that's what they do. That's what they do. They do those things. They try to save you and then they put you up. But why are you on the block in the first place? Whose idea was that? You know, they tried to get rid of me last week. They called me a liar. Mm-hmm. You remember what they did to me? And so Nicole's like, you're right. I can't trust it. No matter how much it looks like they're actually trying to save me and I hear them trying to save me, I'm going to believe Kevin instead of my own lying eyes. So there you go.
Jenny, this is my pitch for Kacer and Janelle. Tell everybody we want Nicole to go home. Kacer and Janelle, tell the house we want David to stay. We want Nicole out of here. We've had it with her.
I mean, that would be great if anyone believed anything that Janelle or Kacer said, but that's just simply not the case.
This
so
is reverse psychology.
Okay,
yeah,
but how many levels of reverse psychology is it going to take for it? You know what I mean? Like,
I actually think that's a good idea. Is like tell everybody that like David wants to work with us. Please, like he wants to be on our side. He wants to be with me and Kacer. Like you guys need to keep him.
They just
you need
hang
to
hang out with him all the time.
Yeah, just hang out with him all the time. Like tell everybody that he said he wants to work with you. Like I mean, and then David could sit there and deny it, but it's like, look at what's going on here. Like
he wouldn't even deny it.
No, he like, wouldn't.
He wouldn't even deny.
Like, it. So like, what
he'd be like, the thing about alliances with Janelle and Kacer is that like, you know, like that's what he's going to do. This is why Davon wants to vote him out, because she comes to him and she says like, David, are you in an all guys alliance? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, wait a minute, you weren't going to tell me? He's like, no, I mean. You know what you're talking about. So if they come to him and they're like, are you working with Janelle and Kacer? You go, yeah, sure.
He'd be like, look, like, I mean, do you really think I'm working with Janelle and Kacer?
They'd be like,
really
yeah.
It's like, wait, so you're not going to deny it or like what? Like, he talks around things and won't actually give a straight answer.
And
if
also,
he actually has
also
seen
David.
The show.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm screaming. Why are you screaming?
Yeah. Like, I'm all for Bailey and Davon teaming up with the black guy. Like, I get it. But, like, you can't team up with him because he's such a liability. Like, you're saying, you're our ally. Tell me something. And he's going, no, you haven't really told me anything. He's like, okay, well, you're the one on the block, so you really don't have that kind of leverage. Tell me stuff. And he's just like, no, I don't know. And so that's why Nicole just can't go home, because David is actively ruining his own spot by not committing to the people that who have committed to him for at least this week. Like, all you have to do is tell Davon and Bailey, like, I'm in, and then tell everyone else I'm in, and then vote out Nicole. But for some reason, he just won't. He's so noncommittal to everything that it's not panning out for him. And then meanwhile, as people are thinking, well, let's just get rid of him, Nicole is doing the same thing on the other side. She's like, screw you guys. Y'all want me to stay? I'm out of here. You know, so it's impressive to watch. I think this has been the most entertaining week. And the fact that they've managed to avoid all of that on this episode is insane to me, because that's been like the last 4 days have just been Nicole crying about Janelle trying to save her.
That's what I'm saying. I'm hoping that we get more into this in tomorrow's episode, because there is just so much that has not been covered. The one thing I was going to say about David is that there was like a good at least hour conversation today where David has good people in his corner, like coaching him. Like, he's not doing well with his campaigning. He's really not doing much work for himself. He's really just benefiting from the fact that everyone is against Janelle and Kacer, and they link Nicole to them. But Bailey did like a long session with David where, you know, she's kind of almost coaching him without it coming off super condescendingly. And the issue is that Nicole is not getting any of this helpful advice and is imploding and pushing away people that are actually trying to help her. So, but David is actually benefiting from having people in his corner that are really just trying to help him see what he needs to be doing. But I've seen so many conversations of people kind of flip-flopping that there's a few pieces that I feel like are going to stay in certain corners, but by this time tomorrow night, I truly cannot tell you what is going to happen and who's going to be left in the house at this time tomorrow.
Yeah, we still have a whole nother day of things that could potentially change. If you have to call it right now, is everybody on the consensus thing Nicole Anthony is going to go?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Melissa, in Big Brother history, if it's back and forth like this all week, but one person has been ahead all week, is that usually sort of like then by the time we get to eviction night, is it very rare for it to change the last second?
I would say that normally that would be the case, that it would not flip at the last second unless something happens. But like, for the most part, if it's just people going back and forth, people usually tend to stick with what they initially were going to do.
Right.
So I do think we have David staying and Nicole leaving, barring, you know, Nicole doing a house meeting like she was talking about.
Yeah.
Like David really imploding. Like, you know, there could be any number of things that happen between now and tomorrow. But I do think at this point, David's going to stay. Yeah.
Chappelle, like last season, there was that one week where it was Kat and Sam that were both on the block. And then it was, you know, Sam was going home. And then like that day it flipped. And then it was like, oh, we got a house flip. And then by the time they went to the live show, it had flipped back.
Yeah. Don't ask me about last season. I don't know. I tried to figure that out. But that's a good point. Cause I remember like with Kat, the thing was that she knew Jackson's girlfriend. I don't know. What are these people's names? She knew the second place person.
Beth.
And they knew each other in real life. Beth. She knew Beth. And her and Beth were like, they were almost found out. So that kind of thing happened, or she wasn't leaning on that relationship enough. I don't know. All I know is that this week, I've never seen anything like this, where if Janelle or Kacer had won the veto and literally saved Nicole, she probably would have been so mad that she would have self-evicted.
Mm-hmm.
She probably would have walked out the house because her hand would have exploded. Like, yeah. Well, why are you trying to get me out of here? You're just stringing me along. So I think she would have lost it. So I personally, for myself, for my television pleasure, I want her to stay. I want her to be in the house all like as the foil to everybody's plans, like Chicken George. I want her to just be around because David is not good TV, but or good feeds. But Nicole, like literally like listening to Janelle say like, I really want you here and going to Kevin and going, she's so condescending. She's like, I really want you here. Like that is entertaining to me. I don't know how she does it, but I never want her to go ever again. She's my favorite player. If she's not America, she's
wow.
America.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
She gets my vote today. It was Keisha last week and now what am I got a bad track record.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how to pick them. Melissa, anything else that we should be following at this hour on the feeds?
Not really. I feel like all of it is interesting, but it's hard to say whether it actually means anything. I mean, there have been conversations with like Ian and Kacer, for example. Like I love those conversations because it gives me hope that something might happen to like switch up the season because they both talk about like, we need to do something. We can't just like ride this out. But then it kind of ends with like Ian being like, okay, so you need to win HOH. It's like, okay, well that doesn't really do anything for anyone. And so I just feel like unless we get a Kacer or Janelle HOH this week, we're not gonna see anything really come of these conversations that like seem fruitful, but like don't really, nothing gets solidified because we don't know who the next HOH is, and that could really change everything. So,
okay.
I also just feel like everyone's being so cagey with each other, and things are just so blurred that, like, and on top of that, David and Nicole Anthony, neither of them are doing an excellent job of campaigning or helping their case, that for people that, you know, might be in the bottom or in the middle or what have you, there's not a lot of incentive for them to like put themselves out there, potentially tie a vote and really draw a line on week two, that I think that people, you know, like in these conversations with, like with Ian and Kacer, that Ian's probably just like, you know what, like, not my place to be putting myself out there this early. If I, you know, get power next week or Kacer gets power, then we maybe start talking about things. But like, I'm not going to like throw any potential connections away without knowing who's going to be in power next week for David or Nicole Anthony. Like, it's just not worth it to me.
Yeah. And you know what? We might as well like rip the Band-Aid off. Put Kacer and Janelle up on the block next week. Let one of them go. We'll get a lot of fireworks next week. You know, one of the things in Big Brother 12 that was so effective for the original Brigade was that Brendan and Rachel were there. And it was Brendan and Rachel fighting against the house. And they were able to actually stick around for a long time until they got separated. And it really helped confuse the rest of the house. Everybody's so focused on what Brendan and Rachel were doing. So if you get Kacer or Janelle out of the house, the other one has a chance. And then we can move forward with the rest of this game.
I do feel like the alliance on the other side of the house is going to really fly under the radar if Janelle and Kacer stay in, because literally everyone in the house is obsessed with Janelle and Kacer. They're blinded by it. That's literally all they can think about. They can't see anybody else as a target until they get those two out. So like, I do feel like, unfortunately, like the longer they stay in, unless Janelle and Kacer can turn things around, like please God, yes, turn things around, flip the house, whatever. Until that happens, we're just going to have people obsessively talking
one
about
them. One
has
to go so that the other can live.
Isn't that the story of Big Brother, like time after time? Like Dan loses his ally like week two and then he goes to win. Will loses whatever that guy's name was and he goes to win, like that girl Shannon, and he goes to win. Like we see this all the time. As a pair, you're a big target, but when you're just, look at Rachel, you know, when Brendan goes, it's like, oh, it's just Rachel. You know, like, we'll get back to her eventually. So if Kacer goes, you know, God forbid, because we love Kacer, like, it does do Janelle some good. Look what happened the first time he got eliminated with her. Look at what happened the second time he got eliminated. The third time he got eliminated with her. Like, she goes on to go far because as a pair, they're like this twosome that you can't, like, you can't split up. And Kacer and Janelle want to divide the house. They want to have that fight that everybody is skirting around. But if you really think about it, if she lets him go, then she becomes Janelle the weapon. You know, like, oh, Janelle's on our side. She's going to win the veto for us. You know, Danny's probably going to go try to scoop her up. Everybody except Nicole F. could scoop up Janelle. And so that's why Nicole F. is the only one who really wants Janelle out like that. Everyone else is fine with Kacer going or Janelle. But Nicole F. really knows that she can never work with Janelle. And so that's why she has to keep that in the atmosphere. But yeah, I think ultimately, if you rip the Band-Aid off, like you said, next week would be great TV.
Yeah.
Janelle would probably win the veto and save herself. Kacer would go home. We'd all be sad. And then she'd be like the person we're rallying behind to tear this thing apart.
I just hate the narrative that everyone in the house keeps saying that Janelle and Kayser want to split the house. They want a split house. The house is split. If you're not in the alliance, then you are on the other side. That's literally what it is. And they keep saying, like, they want to split the house. The house is a cohesive unit, but they're trying to split us up. That is absolutely not the case. If you don't find yourself in a major alliance in the first week, you are not in it. And you are on the outs. And you are in trouble.
And I think that's, and I think that's what, I guess what I'm trying to say is that they don't want to split the house because it's already split, but they do want to, the lines to be defined, right? We want to know who the bad guys are. We're the good guys. Who are we aiming at? Because right now, with the way the alliance structure is set up, first of all, it's a flawed idea anyway that the alliance, that's the core alliance is four people, right? Like, they think about the brigade like that, but think about the last big alliances, like Derek's alliance with like 17 people, and then Undeniable was 35 people, and then, you know, Ungrateful was 64 people. Like, all these alliances are huge. So when you go to like someone like Christmas and you're like, you know, there's four person alliance and you're not in it, like, yeah, because it's a 17 person alliance and you're not in it. And so they really need to, they need to define the side so they'll know who they're shooting at. But it doesn't behoove the rest of the house to give into that. The rest of the house is fine with them being the targets, because as long as it's not me, who cares if it's you, you know? And so I think that's even why Memphis wasn't willing to show his cards this week. He's just like, listen, I'm not anybody's number one target except David. And what is he going to do? So I think that's where, I think that's where they're trying to, like, you know, draw that line in the sand and say, this is what's going on. Come with us. And that's what Kayser is. That's Kayser's superpower. You know, that's what he's good at. And they need to get rid of him. And it would be good TV.
I have a tinfoil hat theory. Janelle and Kayser up on the block next week completely divides the house over who does the alliance want to send out more. That's what opens up the rift of the, okay, fine, Janelle and Kayser on the block. Who are the people that have to have Janelle go home? And who are the people that say Kayser has to go home? That's what splits the big alliance.
Yeah,
they can't agree who has to go.
You've got Nicole Franzel that is gunning hard for Janelle, and you've got like Cody that is like ready for Kayser to go. Yeah, that actually could be the thing that divides this alliance.
Yeah, and then coup d'etat, and they both get to stay. Okay, all right. let's take a couple more questions here tonight. This is one from Cade, who says, "Is Memphis making a mistake by keeping the nominations the same, or is it smart because Kayser and Janelle aren't going after him, and they will always be bigger targets than he is?" It's fine.
I mean, Melissa got it right in that it's great. Don't tell your alliance that they're on to the rest of you. You keep that in your pocket, and you know that if in the off chance that Janelle and Kayser get power next week, you're safe. And worst case scenario, they go after one of your allies. So personally, yeah, it was a great decision for Memphis, but he screwed himself in his standing in his own alliance by letting them know that he was basically just going to, you know, dangle their lives to keep Janelle and Kayser in the game.
I liked in the episode, there was one point where Danny Donato is talking to Memphis, and she's like, yeah, I just really think that, you know, Janelle and Kayser, if they're knowing about us, like, maybe there's something that we can do. And Memphis is like, oh, are you saying you want to backdoor somebody? Yeah, that's what they're saying. Like, I just like, it's like, oh.
It's like, I got a 5-finger plan for you, okay? What we're going to do is
backdoor. Oh,
listen,
okay.
Memphis has never been HOH before, as we've heard of.
Forget that.
So, this is new.
All right. Shannon says, why did the edit not show any of the Janelle-icy that's been going on in this house?
My hope is they're saving it for Thursday.
Saving it for Thursday. Okay.
They could do a whole segment on it, like, you know, everybody talking about, literally just everybody talking about Janelle constantly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then Ryan says, if Janelle or Kayser wins HOH tomorrow, is it in their best interest to target the big alliance? If so, who should they target specifically? I feel like Nicole and Cody are the biggest advocates against them. Plus, they're a pair being on the same season. All right. Yeah. Chappelle.
I think Nicole and Cody.
Yeah. Let's explore this. Let's give people some hope for 24 hours here. let people have a nice dream on a Wednesday night. Kayser or Janelle wins the HOH. Who's going on the block?
I think Melissa was just about to say it. Nicole and Cody need to go on the block because that is the most obvious pair that they can like spot that's a part of that alliance. If they try to get fancy and use anybody else, it might not work out. Like if they like, oh, let's throw Tyler up there. Like Cody will cut bait with Tyler. He will cut bait with Tyler. Or if they're like, oh, let's throw, you know, one of these Christmas up there, they will cut bait with Christmas. Like you really need to go to the two of them because they're the most obvious pair, even though they're trying to like not be the most obvious pair. If they do anybody else, it's going to backfire in their face because they just don't know who's all aligned. But they know for a fact those two people are aligned. And so I think that's what it is. I would like to see Janelle win the HOH because I think it would just be, like you said, with the Janelle-icy, it would just be so funny to see everybody squirm. With Kaser, he's so diplomatic, you know, a lot of times. So I think they'll come to him and it'll be very like, you know, be very professional. But I kind of want to see Janelle get the wine and, you know, give me that key, bitch. Like, I want to see that that part. So,
oh, my God, totally.
I think that's what we want. So I think Nicole and Cody are definitely like the best two targets for sure.
Yeah. Kaser HOH would be like, all right, we're going to I made a deal with the other side. It's going to be this week. Kevin and David.
David again.
Yeah.
Oh right. My God, no.
Right.
No.
Don't worry. I cut us a deal.
I don't think he would. I think Kaser is ready to play and I think he wants to make a big move. And I think I absolutely think that either of them would nominate Nicole and Cody, possibly a Tyler backdoor. I mean, if they need to. I think if they need a replacement, they put Tyler up. But I think overall it should, if I'm Janelle and Kaser, I want Nicole and Cody on the block at the end of the week.
And Janelle has been saying it like, if we, you know, like we lose Nicole this week, like that's another number we had and we're losing this battle. Like the writing is on the wall, you know, so I have to think the fire is underneath them, not only for their own self-preservation in this game, but that like this is their only opportunity to take a shot and try to dismantle this power structure on the other side of the house. So even if we have some doubts in, you know, Kaser's decisions, I have to believe that Janelle sees what's going on here and is going to push for one of the four that were named in tonight's episode. And obviously Nicole and Cody being from the same initial season makes the most sense.
I think there's a foil though. We forget the safety suite, right? So like we get our HOH, we get our
who
moment.
Can play, Chappelle?
Cody.
Cody. Nicole.
Memphis. Memphis.
Memphis. Yeah. So all Memphis. Four of them can play.
Right. So. And Danny would save Nicole. Nicole would save Cody. Nicole would, or Danny.
That's why like, we want Memphis to win it. Because he's a wild
save
card.
Cody. He'd save Cody.
He wouldn't save anyone. That. He would save himself. Memphis would save himself twice. Memphis.
I absolutely see Memphis not saving Cody because he doesn't want to like create the impression that he's working with him. So I could absolutely see him saving some random person.
Mm-hmm. Like David. He should save David because then he can be like, David, you really proven
Cody can't play.
Last
why?
Brent, yeah.
Brent just pointed out in the chat, Cody that. Can't play.
Why?
Was Cody in the last one?
Because he was in the last one.
Okay, okay. God, I can't remember. Did Ian, Ian go?
Ian did play,
Ian
played too.
And then Nicole, if Nicole Anthony stays this week, then she will play.
Did Bailey play?
Yeah.
Bailey did play, I believe. Bailey and Davon both did.
So. Yeah, so that's what's going to happen. You know, Memphis could win it. He'll save just a random person. He'll probably save David, which would be great for his game because David has every reason to come after him. He can save him and be like, "You're at the big boys table now," you know. And then that'll be like the thing that ties them back together. I think that's our best case scenario because if Nicole F wins it, everyone's head's going to explode, and that's going to be the end of the season.
Yeah,
and it's going to be rigged because she's going to call it in. It's going to be Olby, Michigan trivia contest, and she's going to win it. So.
I thought we were going for optimism for our Wednesday night.
I thought we were doing the reverse jinx. Which one is it?
Okay, you got to let me know offline that we're doing this.
Yeah, reverse jinx.
Okay, let's take another question. This one is from Kim, who says, "Who wouldn't nominate Jaser if they get the HOH tomorrow?" All right, so while we're thinking with rose-colored glasses. Okay, so, all right, if Kaser or Janelle don't win the HOH, are there any safes? This is like in Monopoly when there's like you're playing against people that have like hotels on every property. It's like, boy, all right, I hope I get income tax. Okay.
Yeah. Aim for Baltic. You have to pay, but it's not as much.
Is there anybody on the board? Bailey or Davon? Would they be safe with them?
Yeah. They would be safe. Bailey and Davon would, I think they'd keep them safe. That would be probably the only, maybe David, just because maybe Bailey and Davon could have some first play with him.
The only thing,
David will do what Tyler says to do.
Janelle for the week.
Yeah, that's what I struggle to see. Like, it makes sense, but I struggle to see what they're going to do instead when everyone is playing so cagey and trying to not, make it known that they're aware of the structures that are starting to come into place here. So it absolutely makes sense for Bailey and Davon to protect Janelle and Kacer. But I also think that there are probably people being like, I don't want to be the one that has to, because it's, with David and Nicole Anthony going on the block this week, it's still vague and people are still trying to like be like, oh, what is their sides? So I think that there's got to be a lot of people that are like, I want to be safe, but I don't necessarily want to be the person that takes a shot.
Melissa, do we think that there will be a large group of people trying to throw this HOH?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will. I think the one situation where they won't maybe is like the crapshoot situation if they cannot throw it. But even then, they'll probably try. I know Bailey and Davon had talked about throwing it. I don't know if they still want to do that, but I know they had talked about it. And I'm sure other people are planning on throwing it as well. I don't think Danny's going to want to win it. I just feel like there's a lot of people. Enzo, I don't think Enzo's going to want to win. I think there's a lot of people who feel safe enough that they do not want to be the one to like cast the first stone or whatever at the people. So I think people are going to be playing it safe.
Okay.
Do you think Danny would put up Jacer? I don't think she would. I think she would. She's been trying so hard not to show her hand. I don't think she would.
It depends on how scared she is about the fact that she was named, like, and that, but she's also been someone that's been like, putting in work and, playing nice with Janelle, but all of this is starting to unfold. Like, who knows what it looks like by the time nominations are coming out.
The chat really wants to let us know that it's going to be a crapshoot HOH. So I don't know if that's better or worse for Janelle and Jason.
Well, we thought when we got questions last week, oh, great, we've got, true or false, Janelle or Kacer, HOH, and Memphis won with like six people still in the game. So everything's a crapshoot. It's 2020, guys. Come on.
I like when Memphis wins competitions and he replays them like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. He's like, so that last one, it said true, but I put false. Or like tonight where he's like, I was holding it and the ball was about to come off. Yeah, that was nice, huh? Like, I really like when Memphis replays these moments because he's like, you could tell he's reliving his own, like, his old football glory days when he peaked in 11th grade. Yeah, like, I like that a lot.
In 1943.
Anything else about tonight's episode?
I think Jenny mentioned the caginess, and it reminds me a lot of like Survivor last season, Winners of War, where like they're a tribal council and Jeff is like, come on, give me something. And everybody's just kind of staring at him. Like, I think that's what it's like watching the feeds. You like watch these people kind of try to inch into each other's alliances and they never give anything concrete. And then it's all the people you don't like will find their way into the room together and go, yeah, we're still doing it. You're like, God dang it. How did y'all get past it? Like, motherfricker.
I will say that it makes me at least excited for the episodes to get diary rooms. And I mean, we don't always hear from who we want to hear from. There's definitely still some people that we didn't hear from in tonight's episode that I'm like, okay, give me some more. Because everyone is, paying lip service to everyone. And so these diary rooms to get like an insight on what people are actually feeling is very, very crucial, at least in the season. So that's helpful, at least that it makes it makes the televised episode a little bit more exciting because we're hoping to get a little bit more insight from people.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast and the wrap ups and more. Of course, we were back at it with News AF back on Tuesday. Danny, Tyson, and myself talked about how that I believe it was 47% of millennials and Gen Z that were polled, would that if they would not date somebody who did not recycle, that would be a deal breaker. We talked about that and much more on the latest news AF. And then see what else is coming up. Oh, the Purple Pants podcast. Let's see what Bryce has going on. Find out what's going on. Oh, I guess Bryce is talking about Big Brother this week, and much more over on the Purple Pants podcast. Talking with T-Bird, Keith Famey is back from Survivor, the Australian Outback. T-Bird tracked him down, talked about what he's been up to. He's a documentary filmmaker, has some really inspiring stories about some of the things that he has been documenting. And then also got to talk about some Australian Outback with Keith Famey over on Talking with T-Bird. That's up. And Shannon Gus joined me to talk about the iconic episode from Survivor, Token Genes, the martyr approach where Coach goes to Exile Island. Had a lot of fun last night talking that through with Shannon. So check that out up on our Survivor podcast feed. And then as well, we're going to have the B&B is doing double duty right now. Check out what Mike and Liana had to say about this episode of Survivor. And of course, David Bloomberg and Jessica not only have why Coach lost, which I'm sure is going to be a fun ride, they're also going to have some Big Brother podcasts, which we'll get to as well. Okay? All right. Oh, last night, we had another great panel. My great friend, Jatia Hart, she put together a panel, Black is Queen, a very fun panel of talking about different women who have been played on reality TV, talk about what it's like to be a Black woman and play on reality TV. You can check that out on our YouTube channel from Tuesday night. And the slop from this week, our weekly show recapping all of the nonsense going on in the Big Brother world. We talked to Rachel Swindler and Nicole Anthony's podcast co-host, Eric Curto. Puya and I had a lot of fun on Monday. Definitely check out that show and join us live this upcoming Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. LFC Roundtable. Oh, it was another good one, Melissa.
Yes, I was very vocal.
You guys were on fire.
Very passionate. I was on fire.
Yes.
Take a shot every time Melissa says frustrated. Just take a shot. Take a shot.
Yes.
It's a lot. Spoiler.
Melissa, I learned on the roundtable last night that you're the voice of the people.
You are.
I am the voice of the people. You didn't know that?
No. No,
I think Brent likes to say that he's the voice of the people, but Melissa,
he's the voice of Twitter.
Yeah,
right. I'm the voice of the overall
Melissa
overall
people.
It actually has her finger on the pulse of what the fans are thinking.
So true. It's so true.
Okay.
All right. I'm so modest as well.
Yes. All right. And Taryn's like a step ahead of where the fans are, and then. Brent is like in his own world of where he wants the fans to be. Melissa's right there in the middle.
Right there.
Okay. Then Thursday morning, get ready for, we're going to find out, get a little closer to this big eviction on Thursday. Check out Taryn live at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m., 8 a.m. Pacific. Then we'll be live on Thursday. Looks like Scott is calling a David boot. David gets the thumbnail for tomorrow night. Okay. Scott is Nicole Anthony stan and hoping that she stays. Of course, we've got so much going on. All supported by the patrons of Robin's Podcast. Check out what's going on our patron podcast feed, our patron community on Facebook and Discord and much more. Over at robiswebsite.com/patron. So check that out as well. All right. So this was so much fun tonight.
I had fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chappelle, this was so great to get to talk about an episode. You really know your stuff. The chat was loving everything you had to say.
Yeah, I can't see the chat, so I don't know if they're like boo, hiss, like they hate me. Like, get them out of here. Yes. But,
They called you Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, someone also love called that. Me like, yeah, oh, I got a text message that said I'm...
Memphis called you Rookie of the Year.
I got a text message that said I look like a more attractive David Allen Greer. It said
I saw that.
Right, and like Tyler... I don't know who that is. That's an old guy. I don't know.
Yeah. Old ass. Living color. Could yeah. be bad. At no. least you're more yeah. attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I took from it. I was like, oh yeah, the guy from the Proud Family. Yeah, I'm definitely more attractive yes. than Oscar Proud. Okay. So I appreciate the love.
Okay, so this is the opposite of watering the garden of self-doubt for Chappelle.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
Water everyone's garden in a positive way is what I would like everyone way. To do.
Chappelle, where yeah. can people keep up with you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's underscore show. That's Chappell's underscore show. Shout out to Mike Bloom. Happy birthday, Mike Bloom.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday,
Mike Bloom.
Yeah. I had to do it. I am the biggest Mike Bloom stan, so I had to be the one to say it. But yeah, yes. follow me on Twitter. I normally don't talk about, I talk about Big Brother a little bit, but I don't like to get into like the petty stuff. I just kind of like talk about the strategy or laugh. I like to joke. So if you say something funny, send it to me, but don't try to argue with me because I'll block you. Sorry. Yes.
Okay. What if somebody wants to argue about that they're the biggest Mike Bloom stan? I've heard other people make that claim.
I don't think you have. If they did, they lied. They lied. So there's that. But no, they could, if they want to argue with me about that, they can follow me on Instagram, Chappelle TNT.
Okay. That's it. All right.
Is that where you argue with people?
No, that's how I can sell my Instagram stuff. Okay. That's how I can sell my flat tummy tea. You know?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Jenny Autumn, so great to have you back here with us. Will you put the vest back on now that the podcast is
okay.
over?
Okay.
You don't have to. I'm just asking yeah. after it's over, are you going to put it back on?
I mean, the vest. I thought that it was going to bring me confidence, but as soon as I put it on, I felt very bad about myself.
I felt very old.
I felt, how yeah. Mike Bloom feels for about like adult babies. That's my adult baby. That vest is my adult baby. That's my adult baby.
For the record, Memphis Garrett is a millennial. I checked.
Yes.
81 is the start point. So so my fellow millennial, Memphis Garrett, and I in our matching vests.
That's yeah.
Adult baby.
I when I was watching him on the screen tonight, I was like, I am embarrassed that I have this in my closet. And
it's like on
I would
hand.
Never just wear it without anything underneath. And also, I bought this a very long time ago. So,
mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
Yeah, you
have you ever seen me wear this?
I don't know what you do on your spare time. Right. You go around
Memphis
wearing those vests.
Will wear any other of your clothing articles this season?
Well, I mean, I have many scarves, and I see that he likes to wear the blankets as like a big scarf. Yeah. So, yeah, my twin, Memphis. So, yeah. when he, you know, gets evicted, maybe I'll, you know, we do the black veil type thing. I'll don the denim vest in his memoriam because I don't think that he's long for this world after what we've seen go on this week. So, okay. Yeah.
Jenny, where can people follow you?
I'm on social media at Jenny Autumn.
Okay.
And like Chappelle, I really am trying to water my gardens of positivity at this point in my life. So I'm really trying to not engage too much in the negativity and just trying to, you know, fun live tweeting about the episode, which is always a little silly, and occasional stuff about the live feeds. But I'm really trying to keep it light because my mental health is also important at this time. So.
Protect your peace, queen.
Exactly. Yeah. You can follow me at Jenny Autumn.
Okay. And then Melissa, she's going to have air conditioning tomorrow at 4 o'clock,
yes.
which
yes.
is perfect. Bless. Just in time
Thank
for Big
goodness.
Brother.
Just in time for the cool eviction because I'm going to be sweating and scared for who wins HOH. You can find me at It's Melissa with 3 A's.
With 3 A's.
I have to do it like that now that Taryn does it like that.
Yes.
On all social channels.
Melissa, tell me about the 30 Rock cookies that you got.
Yeah, my brother awesome. Got those for me.
Yes.
He got those for me for my birthday. He ordered them. They were special order. His friend here, he knows the girl who makes those cookies. And he kept asking me, like, what are some 30 Rock quotes that you like? What are some moments on 30 Rock that you like? And I'm like, why? Like, this is like the weirdest conversation ever. And he, and then I, all of a sudden I get those cookies. They were months late, but that's because she's very busy. So I understand yes. it.
USPS, I hear, is having a lot of issues. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so
the cookies are shaped like 30 Rock characters, like the Fawn.
No, I wish. But no, they've got like the quotes on them and stuff. You can see them on her Instagram. It's like, or you can see them on my Twitter. It's Kirky Cookies is the girl who does it. And they're really good. They're so cool, tasty.
I wouldn't even want to eat them. I'm like, this
no,
is
No, I haven't. Yeah. That's the problem. Yeah. I've only eaten two, but I'm like, I have a dozen. And I'm like, I can't touch these. They're beautiful. So
you should have got the quote, the survivor. What was it? The MILF Island quote about Deborah being like the lead, the like the standout from MILF Island on 30 Rock with that survivor episode. You should have got that quote.
Yeah.
I would frame
next time, get cookies from a show that you don't like. Get like some Big Brother 21 cookies and then them. Just like, Taco Tuesday.
Taco Maybe Tuesday.
Yeah, just eat them all. Then you won't care.
I'll put all
things have fries.
Before the life.
I'll get cookies with all the contestants' faces on it, and then when I'm angry with them, I'll just eat them, and I'm sure they'll all be eaten by the end.
Yeah,
slightly cannibalistic. I like it.
Can I make one observation that I keep saying from these episodes that the storage room this season, was it like this last season? It is like a farmer's market in there. Are they expecting like after last season where it was we went through so much produce last season, we better get double for this year.
Lots of watermelon.
Every time I see like the beautiful displays of all the produce, I'm like, I want to be in there and I want to be eating all that food right now. Like it looks beautiful and I wish I had like basically a market in my house.
It's like Trader Joe's in there.
They're all stars.
This is vegans versus parents, so they have to have the freshest produce in there.
It's true.
For the vegans.
Chappelle, they have like so much protein powder also. Like, why can't they just have one and then give them another one when it's empty?
Right. Like, I remember back in Memphis's day in the 40s where you get like peanut butter and that's it. Like, you know, like now it's like protein powder and protein bars and, you know, shakes. And like she said, vegan this and sugarless this. Like, are you guys even playing Big Brother anymore? Like you people, you don't know Big Brother like we know Big Brother. Where are the ants? The ants aren't going to eat this crap. The ants are like, what ant is going to come eat this? Like, nobody wants this crap.
They get a note from CBS like, storage room looking a little empty. It's kind of sad. Can you guys do anything about that?
Guys, this is Nicole Franzl's grocery list. Yes. Okay. Yeah. She said, I'm not coming back unless the pantry is stocked at all times.
My mother freaking rice cakes. Yeah. I can just imagine the demands that she made. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I need a watermelon.
That was good.
Freaking A.
Okay.
Freaking eggs.
All right, freaking eggs. All right.
We have liquor.
Thank you guys so much for watching. I had a lot of fun tonight. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.